Yo, what up, everybody? This is Alex from Low Five Gaming with my brother Luke. Welcome to another episode. I got Luke flying in the air, wearing a green suit, little red balloon drawn on his maps.
You're gonna make me tingle. I do love maps. I'll be tingle.
I'm not gonna lie, dude. I love tingle. Tingle's hilarious. But you like 35, dude. That's like, aren't you? You just gotta be right around where you're at right now.
It's a weird way for your own age.
Dude, I bring that up because when we started pulling this first dropped on NSO in the game, when I said this first, we're playing Majora's Mask about 2 years ago. I started playing it like just the beginning, and Tingle starts talking to you and he's like, tells you, he's very like adamant about the fact that he's 35. And I'm pretty sure at the time I was 35 years old. So I was like, this just hits too deep, Nintendo. I
appreciate how deeply unhinged Tingle is. And I kind of wish that they were still as reckless as that in new games, but I digress. Beetle is like kind of the modern day Tingle, but Beetle serves a different purpose and is unhinged in his own way. But Tingle is just, wow. Dude,
Tingle's
what a
great.
Specimen.
Tingle's what a specimen. Great. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Yeah. Low Five Gaming.
Sure.
We're a backlog book club podcast. Pick one
Tingle's
game a month.
Favorite podcast to listen to in the sky.
Rated number one by Tingle, our boy.
There we go.
Speaking of ratings, dude. If you're a longtime listener and haven't given us a rating, give us a rating. We would love that. It's good for my serotonin.
Nice.
But like I said earlier, we've got The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask. Released in 2000 for the Nintendo 64, and this game also dropped on the 3DS back in 2015. It was a full graphic rehaul. They did change some weird stuff, dude. I did play a little bit of the 3DS version. It was odd to see the differences. But the
I know that's like fairly divisive. There's some quality of life stuff, but there's some stuff people don't like. So I know it's a little controversial. I'm also playing on the NSO, and I have the added benefit of using a little gift you gave me a while ago, which is the original N64 controller. And I tell you what,
yes.
It's very nice to play it in its native controls, because I, you know, the wife is watching the Grammys, I believe. So I was like, I'll play it on the handheld. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like that because I had gotten used to it on its native controller. When it was back on the regular controller, I was not happy at all. So very happy to say I played it on the NSO. This game is wonderful with save states. I'll get into that later for sure. But it's really nice to have the save states. And then, I know that you booted it up on your 3DS a little bit. And you also played it on the cart on your fancy old school TV, dropping the name right now. But I thought that was pretty cool that you
that little CRT Zenith back there.
Yeah, there we go. Ooh. Yeah, no. So you had you sampled it in all the different ways, but you ended up with that modern convenience, I see.
Dog. So when we decided that we're gonna play this game, I wanted to revisit Majora's Mask. I've never actually beat this game, right? And I still have not beat this game, dude, unfortunately. But I will. I will. I'm there. I'm almost there.
Dude, I was talking with Ace.
Boing.
And he was talking some shit. And he's like, neither of you are going to be done by the time you record this podcast. And I was like, the fuck, dude? I've been blowing through it. Like, what are you saying? I can't do it. So I'm real salty to admit that I always make fun of you. We forget when I don't beat the game, but we make fun of you.
You don't beat the game 75-80% of the time.
It's not true. It's definitely not true. But anyway, we only realize it when you don't beat the game. But I got all the way to the Stone Tower. And what's interesting is like the cycle of playing this game, right? Like it's on that 3-day cycle. The nostalgia of this game hits so hard for the first temple and drops off significantly with each temple, because I don't have memories, because as a kid, I simply could not get to those places. And I have only the faintest, foggiest memories of like everything past the water temple. Because, oh my God, the last rush in this game is wild.
And but so yeah. you bring up nostalgia, right? So I did try to play this on the 3DS. I wanted to be down there. I have the physical copy. I was like, this is my time. And I did do, when we did Ocarina of Time, I played and beat that game on the 3DS. You got to watch me take down Ganon when you came over. But yeah. Dude, so
four
immediately.
Attempts, was it?
Nah, first time, I'm sure.
At least three.
I'm sure.
It was bad.
I had stage fright. But anyways, dude, I was like, that was a really good remake. Like, I think, you know, this is what I want to do. And I love playing handheld. So, but then I started up, dude, and that initial nostalgia you're talking about, I had this weird, like, I was like, there's something off. Like, I don't get it. Like, I dig it. This is Majora's Mask, but there's something like, there's things that are different. And the thing that really bugged me is like, you know where the bank is in Clock Town?
Sure.
So in the 64 version, if you look at the map straight on in the screen, it's on the west side of the map, I believe. On the, like, there's this like little arc, like a noodle that it goes up. That's how I always remember it. Little noodle area. Go get my money.
Okay.
Right. But here's the deal.
I just had west, but sure. The noodle there. Works as well, dude.
Dude, the money not in the noodle, though.
The macaroni noodle.
It's not there, dude. I was like, this is fucked up. I know for sure the bank is in the noodle, but it's not, man. They moved it over to the center area. It's like behind the clock tower. And I was like, that is such a weird change. Like, why'd you do that to me? Like, my little child brain just won't take it, dude. I'm like, that's not where we're supposed to be. So I decided I was going to play it on I also have the Nintendo 64 version, the original one from our childhood, dude. And that was dope, but it's just not as versatile as the Switch. And I also had the NSO controller, the N64 one. And oh, I tell you what, that nice, tight, like fresh stick, dude, playing N64 with a fresh stick.
Feels great, dude.
It's great. And people hate on that controller.
It's a very strange. I have no idea what the left side is for at all. Like, but I really liked aiming and running around, and the C buttons make so much more sense. I mean, it's what it was natively mapped for.
Exactly.
But it feels great.
That's just people like really shit on the N64 controller these days. And it was weird to start, but dude, it was one of the first controllers to introduce like on the mainstream level, a joystick, like in your handheld joystick. Big deal. Pretty big deal. Okay. They took some pretty crazy leaps, dude. But, you know, it gets shat on because it's not our professional, like not professional, but it's not like the today there's like an ideal like gaming controller. I mean, they all look the same, like the Pro controller, the Xbox controller, even like the PlayStation controller. They're all very similar. Right. But you know,
more ergonomically sound,
dude, totally. But the way that this game in particular maps to the N64 controller, I agree 100%, dude. It just feels right. And then when you switch it over to modern controls, it's like, this is clunky and weird. I got used to it because I was playing about half docked and half not. So I was able to do both, but it still left me up. I was missing my C buttons, bro.
Funny, you know, going back to the original controller and the original ways that we remember, I actually remember getting this game for Christmas. We got it from Santa. And not wrapped. Santa gifts were never wrapped, I don't think.
Just under the tree.
I think it was addressed to both of us, and it is in that epic gold cartridge. So I remember thinking that was super rad as a kid and absolutely loved it. Like, so personal history with the game, like.
Dude, the holographic image too?
Yeah, dude. And you had a ton more time back in the day, and you didn't have the same glut of games and backlog. So like this type of game where you have to like just slowly unravel the crazy mystery. It's just so sick. And then did we have a guide or did we just borrow the Ryan guide? Regardless.
We had the Ryan's guide for sure. Awesome. We did not have a guide for this one, but we definitely did borrow it from them, which good ups. Ace. Boing.
Yeah.
Because boing. I tell you what, dude, this game's impossible. I have no idea how you play this game without a guide. I do know you poke around a bunch. And I think when you're coming off of Ocarina of Time, that game teaches you to poke everything, like especially if you're like Skulltula hunting, you run into every tree, like do everything. So like, because I had that mindset, I was like, okay, I'll poke around and figure shit out. But oh man, if you want to make it through this game, like guide's money.
Yeah. And just the special masks were so fucking cool in this era. Dude. Like, and playing as like a lot of OOT as we did. So like to be the different characters was just tons of fun, dude. Starting off as little Deku Scrub, like the whole game is just like, it's like a fever dream, dude. And then
it's got weird vibes.
I never beat
it.
I think I could get to the water temple. I think that's the furthest I could get as a kid. And then randomly enough, I like decided I was going to beat it in like middle school. And I remember our cousin came over and he's like, is this like the latest and greatest game out these days? And we were like, nah, it's like 10 years old. I just want to beat it. But at that time, I actually got every single mask, even the Fierce Deity mask. All of them. So I like when you're talking off mic about how hard the final boss is and like all the things that you have to do. I had the Fierce Deity mask, so I just cheesed it. So like one of my goals is to go back and beat this game because like collecting all those masks is insane. And dude.
And there's really a bunch. Cool, there's like, 24 in this game. You know, it goes on that 3-day cycle. Like, I think, you know, this game has been, everybody's talked this game to nauseam. A lot of people listening to this, if you haven't played, fucking play right now. This game's dope. But, you know, a lot of people will be familiar with the idea you're on that 3-day cycle. And I think it's really interesting that there's 24 masks in total, which I think plays into that 24-hour cycle.
Yeah, it's like the closest Nintendo's ever made, like a Zelda horror game. Spooky and like dark all over the place, but like has this really weird sense of humor as well. Like they also sneak in like the goofy, like Tingle, dude. They sneak in Tingle, but also like even the mirror shield.
Man,
you haven't got, but like the face.
I've got it before. I know. Looks like, yeah, horrifying. It is weird, and it's on your back all the time too. Taking off masks, so when you put like, those masks to transform that's you.
Dark.
So you mentioned the Deku Scrub, right? Yeah, so in the beginning of the game,
as a kid, I was like, that's intense.
Yeah, super intense. So all the masks that you get that like transform Deku, Link. I don't know. Deku or Deku? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I like Deku. I don't care. I don't care if I'm incorrect. I like Deku better.
Deku's cool, man. We can rock with Deku.
Continue. It's like Ocarina. It's like I'm an Ocarina guy.
True. Like, I've gotten used to saying Ocarina,
but childhood mispronunciations, but
hey, YouTube wasn't there to correct us before.
Ocarina is the way we would say it growing up.
It just still is, man. Ocarina in my heart. Anyway,
yeah.
Dog.
It's just putting those
masks on.
Horror game time.
It's scary. Dude, when you take a mask off, Link looks like he's in pain when he's putting it on and off. And he screams, dude. It's like, it's weird, man. There's some dark vibes going on to this.
There was no need to do that, too. And we haven't even mentioned the giant, scary, crashing moon that's going to, like, cause the apocalypse to the world.
Right.
So that's, like, your motivation. Like, you know how every game is always, like, you need to, like, save the kingdom, but you can fuck around for, like, 8 million years and no one's dying. Like this game's like, no, if you fuck around, like we'll all die.
Steps out on the Zelda formula, man. It's a lot darker. You're in a different place. You're not in Hyrule anymore. Like, and the stakes are higher, dude. The stakes are way higher.
Yeah. I mean, you can reset everything and start all over. And it was just like, they just like took the creativity and they put it to like an 11 out of 10. And it's really hard and not always super accessible without a guide. But
guess how long this game was in development, dude?
It's like a year.
Oh, you knew.
Yeah, it's like a legendary game that gets, I mean, it's built on the same engine with some like upgrades, but like it's a legendary example because like we got a bunch of games coming out right now to date the pod, but like the Kill the Justice League Suicide Squad came out and all these games that took like 7, 8, 9 years that like people don't like, and like they always use a game like this as a comparison of like, well, they flipped this out in like a year. Right. How long was it between Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, which also
uses 4 years, most maybe
of the same? I think it was like 5, 6, and it was like the same engine too. Well, it makes a difference.
Sure.
It further proves my point, dude, which is that they just turned this game around and they're like, bang, here's another one. And it's like extreme DLC. Like they reuse some of the same characters sometimes. Dude. It's like...
So that plays into a lot of like the urban legends and shit around this game. I don't know if urban legends is quite right, but like there's a lot of people have theories. Theories behind it because Nintendo has never come. They made some the Hyrule Historian shit, but that doesn't really explain fully what, you know, the whole deal with Majora's Mask is. Dude, so some people think this game that Link is actually dead and you're walking through the underworld, which is a wild thing to think about. When you think about like the beginning of the game, when you run into the, like the mask dude, kind of demon-esque. The mask salesman.
Oh. The mask salesman is unhinged.
Dude, so unhinged. Scarier in the 3DS version. I played a little bit of 3DS. And then, like, dude, the mask, the way that the animation skips when he's, like, laughing at you and stuff, it's so creepy, dude. Like, there's just something about it. When you start to think about that being that, like, Link's dead and you think about, like, the assets that are brought in from Ocarina of Time, because there's new characters that use the same assets. So, like, for instance, when you're at the ranch, like, there's the little ranch hand girl. Like, it's the same sprite and the same girl from Ocarina of Time, but it's totally different, different name, different story or whatever. And there's different instances throughout where you run into like the gravekeeper that's like on the way to the stone temple where you're at.
Dampy.
So Dampy's like, he makes an appearance again. Tingle's there. Tingle's an obvious like repeat or whatever.
Is Tingle in Ocarina of Time, dude?
Oh, no. Wait, he may not be. I think you're right. I think this does introduce
of Tingle.
Yeah. Oh, man, even better.
There's there's like the postman. There's like the couple that's like in love in Hyrule Square. They're like, they own a shop and they operate a shop. The bad guys that are like the horse thieves. The guy who like takes over the ranch. He's like the shitty like thief in the ranch area. So like there's a lot of cool nods like that. And like, this is a fun game to just like disappear into like YouTube. I'm sure TikTok's got some stuff too, but just there's a lot of content about dudes just pointing out like super obscure shit.
And the like Gorman Brothers is what they're named in this one.
Yeah. The weird things they hid in this game. It just goes on and on. Like one thing that you would appreciate is it's pretty well known that there's a mask of Mario on the mask salesman.
Oh, cool.
Mask.
Sure.
The ladies that run the ranch, they have a brooch, and on the brooch or whatever, the medallion thing on their necklaces, it's just straight up Bowser's face.
Oh, cool. That's fun. I didn't catch that.
So there's like fun stuff like that. There is the common one that is just like, is that Link dies when he falls off that horse or whatever in the woods.
Right.
And this is like some sort of weird thing. I see you also linked in that you thought this was Greece again, and it's the stages of anger, denial, depression, acceptance. I read that and it seems to fit, but like there's no way.
I dropped that in there just for you to hark back to our Greece episode. But yes, that's another fan theory that's quite popular on this one, is it's applying the different stages of grief, which, you know, that's like a tried and true like storytelling mechanic. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's like maybe what they did, but it's just a theory. And it's an easy one to apply too when you look at the different stages of grief, and you start with denial and you're in Clocktown and you've got this big moon that's going to crash into you in 3 days or whatever. And everybody's just kind of like, whatever, business as usual. We got a festival to go to.
You know? There's like some nice scene in the mayor's office of everyone like telling them that they need to cancel the festival, and like people like saying no, like business as usual. So people have also tied in some like nice capitalism and environmental themes too. And like, once again, I don't think that these dudes all had that cooking when they were making this game, but it does apply nicely. It could just be a reflection of the anxiety of the times of the late 90s, but I doubt it. It's fun though.
It is. It's super cool.
This game exists in spaces of the internet that like other Zelda games just don't. And what I mean by that, like, is like, it has like probably the biggest scene of like independent, like fan art and fan lore and fan fiction and like creepypasta stuff. Like the whole like acid trip horror game vibe of it all has really lent itself to like its own like fervent fan base outside of just like the general Zelda one, where it's like, it's like a pocket within a Zelda pocket, if that makes sense. Like this one specifically has a cultish following just because of how crazy and weird the game is. So
100%.
What an experience, man.
It is. I love being lost in that realm though, dude. Like playing this game, like it's an older game. It came in 2000. That's 24 years old. But what do you think though? Like what, playing the original version of, granted it was on Switch, you're playing the way that it was meant to be like controlled and everything. Like how did the graphics and gameplay hold up for you?
This game holds up better than all, I would say perhaps better than Ocarina of Time. It will be a timeless time capsule game where like, just because of its uniqueness and its environmental storytelling and its crazy environments in general, like it's just going to be fun to play forever. Although you're always going to need a guide, understandably. But like,
dude, I picked up the official Nintendo Power guide that we used from Ace back in the day. Boing. But I picked it up, about a year and a half, 2 years ago or whatever. It's been fun to have that as a companion to the game because, whoo. Like we were saying earlier, man, it's not that you got to do like a lot of exploring and poking around and trying to like figure things out, which is all cool. But like, you know, if you want to try and streamline it a little bit, and not even like streamline's like aggressive, like it still takes time.
Yeah. Even with a guide, you're like, yeah,
dude,
when you run through a temple, characters. Yeah.
I got to know what you think about these fairies. How do you feel about the fairies and the fairy upgrades?
If you're into it, man, I couldn't be bothered.
Dude, I hate it. I wish they didn't do it. I wish they didn't do it because I'll play out through an entire temple. And
I can find enough of them to think that I'm going to find all of them. And then I'm stressed out when I can't find all of them.
And that's the one thing about the guide that I've been, the official Nintendo Power guide that I've been doing, is like, it tells you where the fairies are, but then like, it'll run you through an entire temple. And it's like written pretty cool. It's like, you know, just, you know how guys will do like kind of a story to go along with it or whatever. Not like deep, like the Prince of Persia one we did way back. But, you know, anyways, you know, you're following along and it'll give you a bunch of the fairies, but then the next couple pages will be another map of the temple showing you where all the fairy locations are. So they don't include every fairy in their initial walkthrough. So basically I had to do all the temples twice to go back and get my fairies, because there's power-ups that like are really helpful for endgame. So you want those fairies, but oh, I tell you what, so tedious.
Tried to do it naturally on the first one and couldn't.
First one's not bad. If you can like poke around enough, you'll find them.
Yeah. But. And then the second one, I looked it up and there's one in the ceiling that I missed and I was salty. But like, I always liked the world building of Zelda and the different races. And this game like gives you like the Deku people, like they're never represented in any other game really ever. And they have like that whole crazy palace and storyline in the swamps. And I always thought that was so intricate and so cool. And then the Goron brothers, I think it's cool how like they're in like that mountain snowy village area, although I guess it's not supposed to be that way, but it's like you're usually they're a fire, right? So in the previous game they're the fire temple, so like to just completely change it, it's like blizzard and ice. And then I always thought the Zora Link looked so cool.
Plays a guitar too, bro.
Yeah, plays a guitar. We've gotten this far. We got to mention whoever it is that came out with the Africa by Toto, the Zelda version of it. That's the instruments are like really cool. And Koji Kondo's music is absolutely iconic as usual.
We didn't mention that, but it is Koji back at it.
Beautiful, creepy, eerie, majestic, all of it, man. It's just like without them, like the music helps its timelessness, man, because it sets the scene so much. And the environmental talent storytelling is crazy. Like, are you far enough where you save the little girl's dad from the zombie or the mummy thing?
Not in this playthrough, but I do know what you're talking about,
dude. That scene's so cool because like it is. You know, you see the room that he's in and like clearly she's trying to do like research and figure out what's going on and like save her dad from the situation with all the different like artifacts in the room later on. And that's like cool. And then Tattle is your Navi in this game.
Yep. Right.
And they're like, hey, we know she's really annoying. So in this game, we're just going to lean into it and it's going to be really sassy and make fun of you and stuff. And I was like, that was kind of cool. It made it a little bit more optional, made it a little bit like more toned down, but just like way sassier and kind of funnier. So I thought that was an interesting twist.
It's interesting that Nintendo leaned into the annoyingness of like the like fairy like yelling at you as you play the game when you play like Skyward Sword and that shit. Oh my God. Because like I think it's pretty well balanced in Majora's Mask. Like Tata will holler at you if there's certain things, or she'll fly to a certain area and you have the option to hit up C to figure something out. But like, dude, most of the time, he just doesn't even bug you. You don't have to check it out if you're not interested, which I appreciated.
Yeah.
But that brings up there's a little bit of a story that at the beginning of this, it sets the scene, not like doesn't give you like a true table setting, but it gives you a little bit of an idea of what's going on. So like Link, you know, or whatever you named your hero, but Canon Link would be, you know, going through this forest and he's looking for a friend that he apparently separated with at the end of the events of the first game. Cause this game it's worth mentioning, supposed to be, is not only was it made right after Ocarina of Time, it's a direct sequel too. So it's after the events of that game is where this game picks up, right?
Yeah. It's like the good timeline split young Link. If you know your Zelda lore, you'll know the batshit insaneness, but it's like Link defeats Ganon, goes back to being a kid and then fucks off. It's that timeline.
Yeah. Who do you think he's going to get though? Cause it says he's going to try to find a friend that he parted ways with. My assumption, because he's not with Navi, is it's always been like that he's going to go try and find Navi.
Sure.
But who knows?
I never thought that hard. Now or then.
Yeah. Whatever, dude. Navi's a G. I miss Navi. Tata's all right, though. Yeah. She's kind of a bitch at the start, though. She wasn't very nice to you.
100%. She's with the evil Skull Kid. It's also one of the only non-Ganon bosses.
That's true.
Antagonist. Just an evil, deranged Skull Kid that they give some like nice background to as far as being like a bullied, sad kid.
Right. But it's truly the mask, right? So that's like this evil mask entity that's, you know, unfortunately preyed on this little kid, which is like more layers to this like depthness of this game. But this is the mask. So like, I don't want to like super like spoil it for you, but you end up fighting the mask at the end of the game.
Yeah. I don't want to super spoil it, but.
Dog, it's Majora's Mask. Like, come on, man. It's still Zelda.
But yeah, you're not fighting a Demise or Ganon, so it's just kind of crazy, man.
And there's no Zelda.
Shit, dude, I just realized that. But you have the goofy dancy ladies and the goofy dancing mushroom guy. Did you get that mask for just that heart piece?
For which one is that again? Now, bing. No, I didn't get that one this time.
He's like dancing on a mushroom at like 2 in the
morning. Dude, I know what you're talking about. That's been memeified. That's been super memed. That's funny because I played this game enough times where I'm like, nah, I haven't done that, but I know that thing. That's the thing too, is if you're just like trying to go through all the different temples in this game, like first of all, there's like mini boss temples. If you want to hark back to like looking at temples as like their own characters in Zelda, you have your own mini bosses or your own areas, like mini areas that you have to deal with before going to each temple. So it's not like there's just 4 temples here. This is like a 9.
Yeah, you think it's going to be a short game because there's only 4 main regions you got to go to or temples. And then you're there for a long ass time figuring things out.
And yeah, some good puzzling though.
Yeah, it's definitely like a day cycle to like figure out and get ready to get in the temple, and then you reset, and then the temple itself is generally a day cycle. And then if you leave yourself some time, beating the temple will fix or change the environment afterwards. Easiest example is when you get out of the swamp temple, like the swamp waters are no longer poisoned. So that opens up some like things you can do, which is cool. And like NPCs kind of like change their deals. It's sad to think that little monkey is going to get cooked alive pretty much every time.
Every day.
That you do. Yeah, every 3 days.
Or every 3 days, yeah. Him. It is wild. That is one weird.
Imprisoned and cooked alive, dude.
It's a really interesting thing how that like 3 day cycle works in this game, though, is because when you do something, even when you beat like a temple, it will change the environment. It will like take the evil away from that area. So when you brought up the Garada, like the Gorons, it's all like covered in snow. It's supposed to be warm in summertime there. So when you beat that temple, it's really beautiful again. It's really nice. But once you start the cycle over, it's all snow again, dude.
So now that you're a father, how triggered were you when you went into that part of the room and that baby was just crying at the top of his lungs nonstop?
My
wife was pissed, dude. She's like, what game is this? Turn the sound off right now. And I was like, you're right. It was pissing me off, too.
It's funny you bring that up because multiple times while I was playing this game, Anna would kind of like get pulled into it and kind of start watching. And she's like, what is this? That's gross. I don't like this. That's weird. Why don't you play that other one that it feels nice? Because she watched me play a whole bunch of Tears of the Kingdom when she was pregnant, dude. And it was like a vibe. Yeah. It was like a vibe game for her. And this one, very creepy, wasn't into it. She's like, that's gross. What is that?
Yeah, it's like when you're trying to, the phrase is called scaring the hose with music. Are you familiar with what scaring the hose means in a musical setting, sir?
No, this is news to me.
Oh, man. I'm glad I could be the one to introduce you to this idea. But basically, like, this is kind of hardcore, not vibey, not like for everyone type music. And it's like, hey, man, I'll say this in the polite way that I, with my skin tone, I'm allowed to say it. It's like, hey, man, quit playing this shit. You're scaring the hoes. Like, so nice. If you ever into a concert and just all dudes are there, it's because the music's for the dudes. No, this game's for everyone, but it's funny that she said that because you're out here scaring the hoes. They're like, what is this? Danny Brown and JPEG Mafia came out with an album named Scaring the Hoes. Now you understand. You understand if you heard any of their music. Now you understand the infrared reference. So you're welcome. A tangent on a tangent.
Well, we didn't make it all the way to the end, but let's talk about the bosses a little bit, dude.
Bosses are sick. Actually,
kind of easy, but I think it's because you have to fight them multiple times.
Solid point. They look very cool. At least the first two look very cool. Big fish is just a big fish.
Yeah, looks cool, though.
I feel like they're not as gimmicky as a typical Zelda boss where you have to use a very specific technique.
Just unlocked. Right.
Which you kind of do for
a little bit.
The first boss, you just kind of shoot arrows at him until he dies. That was weird.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. And then he just makes weird noises and hops around. And I was like, is this a boss or is it just a thing they made that looked really cool that kind of attacked sometimes?
A little bit of both.
Yeah, didn't love that one. The rolling thing, I think people don't like that boss, but it's fun.
Oh,
It's
I like that
frustrating.
one.
It's
You
frustrating, but
guys
it's
like to
fun.
spin around as a Goron, pick a whole bunch of
Yeah.
magic up along the way.
I didn't get time to rant about this earlier, but like rolling around as a Goron is really fun. But it's
Can
like a
be.
Nintendo 64 and it's the controls of a game where they just threw this cool mechanic in. So like it's
Right.
rough. And like part of the dungeon is you have to make jumps or roll around the edge of a corner
Right.
as the Goron. And if you fall down, like there's no like load up a save. Like
Dude, that's where the
it's
save states were nice
going
in this
back.
game.
Yeah. So save state became in an incredibly clutch way. Like I remember being on a time limit as a middle schooler or as a kid and trying to hit those jumps and I couldn't. And I was like, I'm gonna scream if I have to do this again. So I'd patiently get all the way up to the top and then miss it again. And I'm like, I'm just not gonna play this today.
Man, those save states are a great addition, but it took me a while to get used to them in this because I wanted to save at all the owl statues, old school way. But it made me, dude, I did the beginning hour of this game three times. Did the because you can't save
Oh.
purely like until you get like go through the whole like first process, the first 3 day cycle basically.
Oh,
And then
really?
you and the yeah, and then you get your sword because
Really?
you like you're not a Deku anymore. And you get to go as a, you basically, once you go back in
Sure.
time for the first time, then you can go
Sure.
in the clock town to the owl statue and hit it with the sword and it allows you to save. Right.
Yeah.
So I did that full cycle with a 3DS. And then I was like, well, I'm kind of like curious, play this game on the Switch or whatever. Cause I had the 64 controller and I was a little offsetting that like they changed a few things in the map just didn't work for my nostalgia brain. So I was like, I'll try it on the NSO. Dope, but I tried doing like basically I did the whole cycle over again, didn't save correctly, and went back and I like didn't have any progress. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna do this on the 64, and I did the whole cycle again. And then I was like, I don't want to do this on the 64, so I went
I'm
back to the
surprised you
NSO, and that's
played
where
any of this game for this month then, because I would have simply would not
I'm
have.
really good at that first hour of this game now.
So the dungeons are very cool, in my opinion. They look really cool, and you have a certain feeling in each of them. The bosses,
Did you use a guy to get through the water temple?
no.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, with all the like moving water like tunnels and stuff, you didn't like
Dude,
but
it's just like one cylinder going down, and when the current's going in one direction, you can only go into two holes. So you figure out what you do
okay.
in those, and then you flip the current, and then there's two more. So like, once you get comfortable with how weird it is, I guess, I don't know. It's not too hard though.
Well,
When
yeah,
you
why I don't know. Maybe it's
said that
because
was
of
when you needed a guide, I was like, there's so many other things that I was more mad about in this
Oh,
game
interesting.
than that
Well,
temple.
previous, I was trying, like, I was getting shorter on time too. So I wanted to streamline some of the dungeons. So it's the first dungeon of the game that I approached with the guide first. The other ones I was poking around and kind of doing more peer. And then I'll catch, like, check the guide if I wanted to, like, check on something. So
If
I think
anything, like
because,
the guide in the
I think because
temple
I
might
was
actually
like,
suck because you have to
I
read
think
and comprehend and then do it
maybe,
in the
dude.
game, dude. I guess
Maybe.
you can watch a guide these days.
You can, but I liked
Yeah.
using the actual guidebook because I have it and it's just kind of fun. But
I'd use it if it was there, yeah.
yeah. But I think because I did use the guide, like it didn't, I don't think I experienced that temple. I don't think it was as fun as it could have been because it wasn't like tickling my brain the way that Zelda temples are supposed to. I was kind of following a set of instructions as opposed to like playing with the environment. So for me, reading the guide and going to the water temple, I was like, this doesn't make any sense. I don't know which way the currents are going. I just know this is what I'm supposed to do. So I think if I would have played that without a guide, maybe I would have appreciated it more. It kind of just made me feel like it was like okay, but like it's probably because I was just reading through a bullet, not bulleted, but like a list of like directions through it instead of like actually interacting with that dungeon.
I tried to play it first when the Grammys are on, and then I decided it was not a temple I could handle while multitasking. And then I came
It's a
back
tough
into
one.
it completely fresh, and that's like, so I never play, like I never get to a temple and then play the temple right away. Like I have to reset the time, and I'll play a different video game, and then the next time I play, I'll like start the temple. Because Zelda
Sure.
temples take, if you're rushing through them, it's not very fun, or you're not very good at it. That fortress is like a
Yeah.
cool in concept, but thank God I know to cheese it with the stone mask because
I didn't have the stone mask for it. But I was able to use some save states on some stuff.
Shot. Oh, yeah, nice. And then you shot all those ladies with a million arrows.
Yeah, mostly if I was going into a stickier spot with all the pirates, I would do a save state so I didn't have to, if I got caught, I wouldn't have to, go through the whole thing again.
The save states help with the anxiety of the time, too. I'll just set one and be like, so if I fuck up and I don't know what I'm doing for a while, I don't feel like I wasted a bunch of time.
True. I decided to do that in a couple of the temples as well. It's interesting. I think I think the temples are pretty darn good in this game, but I think what's really interesting are those outside areas that are mini temples, dude. Like all the little stuff you have to do in between each one.
Well, because of the time limit, everything's a puzzle box and NPCs are doing things not dramatically, but they're doing different things at different times of day. And if you think of how impressive it's gotten with Red Dead Redemption, but two, and how everyone's living a whole life, but this is a much smaller scale, and it adds to the creepy, the little it's like a little creepy puzzle box.
It's cursed. Dude, I love
helps
how
helps things feel cursed. The time loop really adds to it.
I love how weird they were willing to get with this game. The fact that you save the ranch from an alien invasion, what the fuck?
Yeah, they're just aliens, and you're like, what? And they're like, yeah,
dude, it's great. They're stealing the cows or whatever. So yeah, you
as aliens are wont to do,
Oh man, but it's just a weird thing. No other Zelda game gets that just off the rails.
Yeah, and also everything else is usually the Skull Kid came through and fucked shit up. So it's funny that they're like, nope, this one's just aliens.
true.
It's kind of funny though, because no one believes the girl. So it's just a nod and a wink for you and her afterwards that you saved the world from aliens, but
right.
No one else believes you guys.
I think we might have to revisit this one at some point in time, whether it's some bonus content or an extra episode, because it would be great to for both of us to actually wait. Did you beat this game? You did. You said you did with the Fierce Deity Mask.
Way back. Yes.
Yeah.
I misremember
exactly what was wrong with I remember to this day, I didn't have the Fierce Deity Mask. That's for sure. Cause I was never able to beat the final boss. But I saw a playthrough of the final boss, or I scrubbed through it a little bit. And what I saw there was not what I remember in my mind's eye as a kid. So I'm not entirely sure what my hang up was exactly on beating this game.
You probably got to the stone area, and then the ridiculous things that you got to do to get to the stone tower would have
I know for a fact that I made it all the way to the final boss. I just couldn't get past Majora. But I remember in my mind's eye Majora being different than what it is.
The stone temple area, simply because you do some pretty obscure stuff, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I told you about the mummy thing earlier that I was really into. But then you go down in this well, and the whole concept is you have to give these mummies these things at this door. Yep. It's like a mini dungeon down there, and these obscure items. So you got to go back, and you got to get a blue potion for the N64, and you have to go into the woods and do some shit for that. So then you go back and then you do it and it takes forever. And then you get to the stone temple and you have to go to the Goron area or the Clock Town area and buy a powder keg.
Dude, buying powder kegs for different tasks is a pain in the ass.
You can do it in Clock Town, but it's just you never remember. Yep. So then you got to travel. So then you have to get powder keg, you have to get the blue potion, and you have to get 10 magic bean seeds. So you have to do these multiple obscure run all over the map. And you I wasn't reading ahead enough on the guide. So I'd be like, I have to do what now? And that's insane. So that is why I never beat this as a kid. And I'd get to this area and it became too much.
I was using this guide. The guide that I used for this gameplay is the guide I was using kid. And there's actually a list of it tells you everything you need for that dungeon sequence that you're talking about, that mini dungeon sequence that you're talking about. And it says it shaves a half hour of gameplay. But yeah, dude, so still Majora's Mask, the mask evades me, but I'm not going to let it. It's an earworm.
I cheesed it so hard with the Fierce Deity Mask that I don't remember it either. Cause you can just press one button.
Right.
It's kind of
pretty cool to collect them all though, dude. I'm impressed that you got all the masks.
Yep. Apparently I had some time in middle school, but all right, man.
Well, shit.
It's a classic. Everybody should play it.
It is. Yeah. So on a scale of five, something
about it.
A scale of five, how many ocarina octaves are you giving Majora's Mask?
I'm giving it a Fierce Deity Mask, dude. I'm giving it the full. No, it's the best, man. And if you don't want to play it, you should watch some stuff on it. That's what I'd say.
Full send, five octaves?
Five octaves.
Right on. I got to do the same, man. Got to be five. It's cool. It was really cool to be in the Zelda, like in the realm of Zelda, and not be in Hyrule. There's something about being in an area that's not Hyrule that was really appealing to me. I think the weirdness of it all is just like super cool. I think that it's such a departure from your typical Zelda formula that that's worth it too. Like there's just so many reasons to play this game, man. And I would recommend it to, honestly, it's a 24-year-old game and it holds up. I think it's especially nice with the N64 controller though. I will admit that when I was playing with the Switch's like regular controls, it's like a little clunky because it's meant to be played on the N64. So, I mean, if you're able to, you know, do it old school. If you got an N64, I got a homie that will borrow you one. Or if you got NSO and you can get a hold of one of those, like that is the way to play it, dude.
Paying that premium subscript, play it on NSO.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. But with that, let's take a little break and hear from our unsanctioned sponsor.
You know, we've actually shouted out our unsanctioned sponsor about 37 times today. You know what it is? What it's literally brought to us by?
What's that?
Guides, brother.
Oh, man, the guide.
The right guide. On. So for our shaman, I just want to, you know, you played on the original version, originally on loan from the Ryan household. Boing. But it was like such a sentimental part of this game and such a cool part of this game. And then nowadays, guides are mostly online things, which are less beautiful, but still really, really cool. So I used IGN and Zelda Dungeons a lot. I like Polygon guides for Zelda games. Yeah, I have fond memory of using Polygon exclusively for Breath of the Wild, which is like my favorite Zelda game. And this is just another excuse to bring up the fact that when I was really little and I wanted to beat Final Fantasy X and I needed help chocobo racing, my dick brother wouldn't help me chocobo race to get my Titus sword upgraded to the maximum, nor would he help me with the other key points he used in the guide at home because he was jealous that I might beat him first. So
that's your take.
You know, shouts out to good guides, both brother guides and online guides and video guides, which I'm not used to like too into, but it helped us get past that windmill last month. Remember that?
I do remember that, dude.
Needed a video guide for that, dude. So guides, how do you feel about guides?
Guides are nice. Spiritual guides.
Yep.
All the guides. I'm into it. I appreciate a good guide.
And it's physical media. So I was like, Al's got a boner for dude.
I do indeed. I have the physical guide for this. It's great. It's like a nostalgia piece. Plus, it's just a tangible little item. But, you know, you bring up the internet guides, too. That's big business for publications that cover video games.
Good traffic. And
here's to the homies that are writing those that have to, like, play the games, like, give you solid copy around, like, how to do things industry and beat the
unto
game.
Itself, dude. Oh. Industry unto itself. Journalism corner over here, dude. Guides, journalism, dude.
Dude,
and
wild.
And historians' works, dude. So,
you're saying, I mean, more or less, dog, you're saying this like brought to you by Tingle.
Dude, if there's a Tingle's number one fan podcast, it's this one.
Dude, I do love me some Tingle. I played the 3DS game like just a little bit. Like,
the
I was just feeling
game, yeah, you know, there's like a spin. Yeah,
he's got a spinoff, bro. It's yeah. He got a spinoff. I played a little bit of it. It's wild. You run around, like, do some map stuff, some Tingle stuff. Tingle got a whole lore behind him, man.
It's only released in Japan, dude. I think they didn't think American markets really understood the weirdness, and it's probably fair.
I appreciate it. I appreciate a good guide. Tingle, nice little guide making maps for everybody.
Companies should like partner with websites or like a specific content creator they appreciate, and they should make like artistic guides as like a collector's piece for modern games.
That that reminds me of this really cool.
I think Nintendo like shut some of those down because they're Nintendo.
Sure did. There's a Kickstarter that back there. Dude, this dude was doing a I'll find a link and put it in the show notes because he's still got his art out there. But this guy was hand-drawn guides was his deal, and he was doing hand-drawn guides for Super Metroid. And I think he was planning like some Zelda ones too, but Nintendo came in and shut it down. I wanted that guide so bad, dude.
Yes. You know, so Nintendo legal team sadness aside, like even some other games, it would just be really cool if somebody went ahead and did that for the physical niche community that likes their guides. This has been brought to you by guides.
Hey, thanks for all the guides, y'all.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. welcome back. You've been side questing, Luke?
Yeah, we're going to call these mask quests because there's little masks that we're putting on. Yeah, you like that saucy theming, dude?
I like it.
That's so fucking thematic. So a lot of the same games, but some new entries as well. I've turned into you where I'm playing seven games at once, and it's not great.
That's my boy. Steamy D did it to you, I think, bro.
Steamy D doesn't help.
It's a handheld life.
Yeah, tapering off of Madden. Just, you know, still love it, but got to play less of it so I can play other games. Midnight Suns has been sick. I love it. Nice. I got Wolverine, and Wolverine's cool, so I'm being Wolverine's friend, and I like saying weird brooding bro shit to Wolverine to try to be his friend. It's a good time. And love that game. Getting near-ish to endgame content. They do a few too many things going on where I don't really, like, want to do it. Like, there's the main fights that you do. There's the friendship building stuff. There's all the cards you got to upgrade. But there's, like, this thing where you're exploring the grounds. Did you ever get far enough along to be, like, in that, any of that? No?
I just got to the grounds for, like, the first time you're introduced, and I started running around.
So definitely not. Like, yeah, there's, like, some side stuff, like, to incentivize you to explore that home base, and I just don't want to do it. And it's okay. I just don't want to do it. So I started playing Dave the Diver, and nice. It's immediately very addicting, and it's a really cool game.
I played a little bit. It is cool.
It's a little stressful. They're like introducing me a new menu / mechanic every 5 to 10 minutes, but I'll get the hang.
And I love that new Godzilla DLC too.
Yeah, there's some Dredge DLC, and I got to figure that out first, because Dredge was like my favorite game last year, I think.
Dude, low key might be the game of the year for me.
Yeah, depending on how you define it, like, I played way more new games, like, but I loved it, and it sticks in my head, and I like it. Dave the Diver is like three games in one so far, and I really like that. It scratches a lot of different itches at once, and the art's really funny and good. So, like, sick, full recommend already, and I'm only a few hours into that one.
Nice.
And I'll wrap up with a preview teaser, which is that we're gonna do the Prince of Persia for next month.
I've not
been able to devote too much time, but a few hours, but it's really smooth, and I love Prince of Persia, as original fans of the pod will know. Pod number one is Prince of Persia, so like true gaming, it starts with Prince of Persia in the late 80s.
I like it, man. Dude, that's I'm excited to talk about this game, because I played just a couple hours myself when I ordered it. And you know, on the release day or whatever, because you know, we got some Prince of Persia love, like specifically for like the platforming 2D Prince of Persia, the side scrolling or whatever.
Yeah, and this is 2D again though, so I feel like there are ways that it is a homage to that. And then you had something nice to say, but I'm just gonna throw you under the bus again. You called Greece a Metroidvania, and I was laughing to myself when I was playing this true Metroidvania, and I was like, Greece is not a Metroidvania.
Dude, I don't think you paid enough attention to the map in Greece. Like, you end up going to the same area over and over again. It's not linear, bro. You go to the different
game.
I'm right. You're wrong.
It's a linear game.
It is not linear.
Whereas this is a true Metroidvania. So anyway, it's really cool. It's really smooth. What was the nice thing you were going to say about it?
Nah, fuck off. I don't have anything nice to say about this game. Nah, dude, it's good. It's nice and smooth, man. The combat in it, I think, is superb. And the platforming is superb right off the bat. To my understanding, things get better and better and better, like as far as like movesets and everything. Like, dude, right off the bat, though, the game's great. Like, I've been reading some articles around the internet about the sales not being to where they would love them to be. That's always the case. It's a shame, because, like, this is the type of game I can already tell. Like, I want Ubisoft to make this kind of shit all the time, because it's so good. I don't want, you know.
It's like Midnight Suns.
We'll talk more about that next month, though.
It's the same thing with Midnight Suns, is they didn't hit projections, but it's like, but it's a cool game.
But it's cool shit. right. Yeah, man. So I haven't been, you know, I did taste a little bit of Prince of Persia when it first came, because I was excited, but I shelved it to, you know, focus on Majora's Mask. The majority of my side, like, I didn't get into too many video game side quests this month, just because it's been, when I'm playing games, I'm playing Majora's Mask. Although I did get a little bit of that Prince of Persia, and I also got a little bit of Transistor in, been plugging through Transistor, which is a cool game by Supergiant Games, came out before Hades. And I'll be speaking to that game with the homie Dave on Tales from the Backlog podcast soon. So tune into that. I don't know when he's dropping that for sure. Probably next month. But yeah, so follow Dave's shit. Listen to me talk about that game. It's cool. It's super cool. Have you played it? Heard of it? Right on.
Heard of it, yes.
Cool. Yeah, I didn't know much about it.
Is it not?
Get the fuck out of here.
It's a real one.
I'll tell you what, though, when you're comparing games, it's crazy to play a game like Hades, which is by Super, just like Super Giant's like breakout hit, and sure. then go back and play Transistor. You like see a bunch of like, you know, Transistor DNA ended up in Hades, and to see that is really cool. But like, and I'll speak more to this with Dave later. But like, I don't know, man. It's dope. Because, you know, it's a cool game, but man, did they fucking kill it with Hades.
Top 10 game all time. What's up? Get
fucked. Yeah. Fuck, so other than those games, though, dude, we've been plugging through True Detective. You guys watch that?
No, not even one.
Oh, right on. So we watch the seasons as they come out. So we're almost done with season 4, and it's good, man. It's like, I dig it. True Detective is a fun show. It's like a cult.
It's got Bruce Willis in it, right?
No.
It's got Luke Wilson.
No.
Vince Vaughn.
Ah, he is in season 2.
Fuck. I was doing a whole bit. And then I was like, oh, I heard he's in one of these seasons, actually. I'm very aware of True Detective. It's just I've never had HBO at the right times to watch. So, you know, maybe I'll get around to it. Maybe. I heard it's dope. Word.
It is cool. That's been a lot of fun. And beyond that, your love for Midnight Suns and your love for Blade, when you've been hitting me up about Midnight Suns, got me curious about some Blade comics. So I've also been reading some of the Blade comics, which they're actually kind of sparse as far as the library for Blade goes.
Yeah, I was shocked to hear that. I was like, for someone who's in this game and had it as a movie series, I thought there would be more.
The movies are dope. The comics, most of them have been really good. So there's right now there's a current run that's happening that started last year in 2023. There's only 4 issues, and my hope is that it continues because the art's fucking phenomenal. Like, the story's fun. I'm hoping to be able to follow that. But that's just the thing with comics, is they sometimes drop off if they're not doing enough sales. They won't finish a run, right? Mm-hmm. So that happened in 1998. There's Marvel Ultimate or whatever, and or whatever it's called, whatever Marvel's like app is for like being able to read all their comics. They have a 1998 run of Blade that was only 3 issues before it got canceled. And it's like pretty fucking good. So it's a bummer that it was canceled, but they revived Blade in 2006. And it's a 12 issue run. And it's funny because in the first issue, you know how like comic book writers will have like at the end of a comic, they'll have a little, there's sometimes like little articles where they speak to whatever they're doing.
Sure.
Yeah, so in this one, the author's talking about how like Blade's a tough like franchise to be, or a tough character to be writing for, because there's this cult following for him, but the sales were never like big for Blade. So he wants to put out this quality like product for Blade, and I'm sorry to you, but I read a couple of them and the art's trash. Like, the story's not as good, and it's like to read this new story about how like he really wants to like give Blade this solid run, and I should give it a chance. I should like read maybe 2 or 3 of them. But like, I just, the art wasn't vibing with me compared to the other ones, so I haven't read all those.
Man, comic books, love them. I bought a graphic novel for my trip coming up here.
Ah, yes.
And I never grow out of comic books, man. I've been into them forever.
They're fun.
You would think this recent heyday of like all the media out there would be my favorite, but I just want some like good quality superhero video games other than Spider-Man, but I don't have a PlayStation. Fuck off.
Not gonna play Kill the Justice League?
No.
Nor am I. Some solid side quests, though, dude. Thanks everybody for listening. This has been another episode of Low Five Gaming, Majora's Mask. Check out our website, lowfivegaming.com. I will likely post a follow-up to this episode about finishing this game, because that was the goal to set out. I really need to have this game finished in the depths of my heart.
I'm not going to get all the masks like I originally thought I was, but I'm at the last temple. So side quest, and hold us accountable. Stop listening if we haven't beaten Majora's Mask, because I haven't beaten Sea of Stars. I'm a scoundrel. I'm sorry.
We got to knock it down, though.
Majora's Mask. So yes.
Yeah, dude, but I'll write about it there. We may even do a follow-up pod of sorts there. I'll have it. Everything will be linked there. There's also an invite to our Discord where you can come hang with us. You can berate us for not finishing this game yet. You can come and encourage us to finish it. We can talk about nerd shit. We can do whatever we want in there. It's our Discord. So holler at us.
Yes, and then see us next month for Prince of Persia, gaming's finest.
I'm ready for some pop, bro. Till next time.
Some pat. Minnesota pat. Some pat.